welcome everyone to another episode of the Dynamic Convergence. I'm your host, the 13th Crusader. And joining me today is my longtime friend, CEO of Comic Crusaders, Undercover Capes, and a whole bunch of other brands, Al Mega. What's up, Alex?
What's up, 13? How you doing, baby?
Doing all right. Also with us today is the heroic Hilty. What's going on, Hilty?
Hey, I'm great, man. I'm going to need like four more adjectives, though. I can't follow CEO and maker of the universe. That's crazy.
No. You got the... You have the top title. You're a firefighter, my friend. Thank you for your service.
Yes. My pleasure, gentlemen. I'm excited about today. I truly am. I love this topic.
Yeah, and the topic today is we are going to toss out our top five most powerful DC villains. We're going to toss that list right on the table. So who wants to go first and tell me who is the most powerful DC villains in the universe? Doesn't have to be in order. Just tell me who you feel deserves to be on that list. There's so many characters to choose from.
There truly is.
You know what, Neil? You're so excited. Why don't we start with you first?
All right, man. I'm in. Now, when I do, I'm going to give you a little heads up. When I do my list, it's not necessarily how they've been used. It's the potential that they had to be a villain because, you know, in the end, in comic books, 9 times out of 10, villains got to lose. Mm-hmm. So this is how I am. I went back. It's been on my brain a little bit. So I went back and I read it. The first person I'm throwing on the table is Solaris, the son with a brain from DC 1 Million.
All right? Oh, wow.
Right? Literally, thousands of years, this guy was kicking in Superman's kids, his grandkids, his great-great-grandkids. Then he went good for a minute and decided that wasn't good and went back to bad. The only thing that beat him was a Superman that was so supercharged, Superman Prime, that he lived in the sun for 1,000 years, and he still needed Green Lantern's ring to do it. So Solaris is a genius. He had long-term plans. Like, they started at day one, and they went until the end. And at the end, they made him inert. They didn't even take him out of the picture. So I got to go with my first entry is Solaris from DC 1 Million. Go ahead. I'm in. I'm here. Bring it.
Did you wipe the dust off the comic book to research this guy?
I sure did. There's a reason I drew Robot Robin this week, man. It's been on my brain since I reread it.
Oh, man. So what else you got, Hilty?
You want me to go down the list?
Yeah, go down the list, man.
Oh, all right. Well, listen, since we're in an S-Shield kind of way, you got to pick the cyborg Superman, right? This guy is basically the hodgepodge of all of Superman's powers, all of Cyborg's powers. He's immortal because his consciousness can get put into any piece of technology, including a child's toy when he hid in the toy man's lair. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's basically immortal. And then DC goes and gives him a Sinestro ring. And then they say, you know what, Cyborg Superman, you weren't badass enough. We're giving you 10 Sinestro rings, right? And then he comes in and he kicks all the GL's butts. This guy made Mongol a sidekick. He blows up an entire city on Earth, fools everybody, and he's still – all he wants to do is die. How bad of a villain is that? He's like, man, I'm just bad because I'm trying to find somebody to kill me, and none of you fools can do it. So I put Cyborg Superman on the table.
Definitely worth it.
That. All right. So getting off the S-Shield and switching gears a little bit, we got to go Professor Zoom here, mm-hmm. Okay? I'm talking classic Professor Zoom. I know like 19 guys have had the title at this point, but I'm talking old. I'm going to try and say the name, so I'll get ready to laugh. Eobard Thrawn, right?
Yep.
There should be a class on that. So he's a genius before he gets powers. Then he gets he mimics the Flash's thing, right? His accident. He gets a whole negative speed force to himself. There's no shared power in there. He creates one by accident, which allows him to time travel, but not just time travel. Unlike the other Flashes, he can affect history and not suffer consequences from it himself. So he makes whole people disappear. You never even knew that guy was around because the guy in the yellow suit zaps into the past, makes you disappear, probably kills all of your ancestors up to that point, and zaps back. They really haven't beaten him, okay? He absorbs the memories of guys that he touches, so he can become anybody in history using his powers and technology. Overall, he's just the Flash without a safety switch, man, and that's a scary concept. You blink and he's done 800 things, right?
Like Flashpoint?
Exactly. Like he has affected the entire reality. Okay. Now, so far we've had power levels and heavy hitters. So I gotta bring up the next one and just bear with me. All right. You gotta go the Joker. Right? He's really only, you can only contain him. He never truly gets defeated. All right. When he, to speak to his level of power, and I'm thinking mental and the fact that he is so chaotic. Whenever he goes against Supes, Supes either calls Batman or he loses, right? All the major kickoffs, if we're talking about Kingdom Come or we're talking about Injustice or every time Superman goes bad, it's because of something the Joker did to Lois or somebody that he cares about. Okay, so he's killed a Robin, and I'm still counting him as dead. I'm sorry, I'm that guy. He's crippled Batgirl, okay? And he has, as part of a conglomerate, he stands toe-to-toe with the JLA. So you look at all these power-level villains that come in to fight the JLA when they do the Injustice League and what have you. They always pick this guy. There's got to be a reason, right? And it's because he doesn't know when he's beat, so he never loses. He just goes back and says, all right, you got me. So for 6 months, I'll be quiet, and I'm going to come back out swinging. And he does. So I went with the Joker. And then I'm going to put the S-Shield back on one more time. Just one more time, though. And my last guy has got to be Lex. And it's got to be Lex because he is... I know he's a hero now, so okay, right?
Yeah.
But you know how I work. You know that's not going to last. So this is also part of some big Lex scheme that's going to come about, and it's going to be wonderful. I'm convinced. Can you hear me, DC? I'm convinced. So do that. Because Lex is a villain. He's the guy behind the guy. He's the money behind the money. He's the tech behind the tech. Lex Luthor is basically an evil Batman. He has a contingency plan for everything. And even if he's looking at the Kryptonian, who is arguably the most powerful guy on the planet, strength-wise, the ability to fly. We all know Superman's powers. Mm-hmm. The guy never bats an eyelash, stares him eye to eye, and says, I'm going to take you out. Now, is that arrogance? It's arrogance, but is it really arrogance if you back it up? Because, I mean, the guy's been the president. He backs it up. So I'm going Lex, not current day Lex, because he's wearing armor with an S on it, and I'm still trying to get my head on that. But it happened, and we're dealing with it. And, when Forever Evil happened and the crime syndicate hit town, he was the guy who figured out how to take them all out, which is basically the evil version of the JLA. So that's my five, gentlemen.
That's interesting list. When you mentioned the Joker, I remember the Emperor Joker storyline, and I'm like, Absolutely. Here we go. You know, this it's going to be over.
With Solaris was great.
Yeah, I was not expecting that one.
I didn't think you were. That's why I led with that one. I figured if I dazzled y'all with Solaris, you'd stop listening to what else I said. So by the time I got to Lex Luthor, who's now a hero, you'd all be like, "Ma'am, do you remember when he said Solaris?" So
it worked.
All these characters you mentioned were definitely not on my list, so I'm happy with that as well. all right, Alex, what do you got?
All right, well, on my list of DC powerful villains, and this villain doesn't necessarily have power, but has been around. Talking about Vandal Savage. This is a man that has plagued the earth since the beginning of time with crime and violence once he inherited his powers. So, I mean, you think about the villainy that throughout history he has claimed to have served under many names, such as Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Genghis Khan, Blackbeard, even Vlad the Impaler, which we know is, kind of where the story of Dracula comes from. So when it comes to villainy, and you know what these particular gentlemen have done in history, and if his claims hold true that he was them, I think in at least in our human history, there has been no one other like a Vandal Savage. All right? He actually, mm-hmm. he scares me, being an immortal. I mean, this is a person that actually survived the final crisis, and that's something I'm going to bring on to my next contender, which is the all-powerful Darkseid. And my pick for him was just one particular reason. I'm a big fan of Kirby. and a particular run he did was Commandy, right? Mm-hmm. From the world of Earth AD. Now, they've always, in that particular run, it was the great disaster that plagued the Earth, you know, and we never really got the truth behind what was the great disaster, right?
Right.
So, with the development of Final Crisis, is that we see that Darkseid has finally unleashed the anti-life equation. And that's what affected Earth AD. I mean, we got that story years later, obviously, what happened. I mean, and the carnage that was brought upon that world because of Darkseid's quest, I think, holds no bounds, dude. I mean, that was just cruel. So when it comes to, and power, to be able to use just words to control people on that level, I think Darkseid definitely holds a very satanic version for me there. That shit is crazy. And another villain that's also on my list, maybe on yours, and just because of her creepiness factor, that's Greedy Goodness. I mean, dude, think about this. This is an old lady. She has gone toe-to-toe with Batman and has even beat him once, all right? But she lives to corrupt and torture children. How sick can you be? And then she tortures them, you know. I mean, all right. And again, this is was it? Amazon attack in the Countdown storyline where she actually masqueraded as Athena to be able to recruit Amazons in that way. I mean, she's a sick, devious old lady. I think that definitely is underrated. People shouldn't sleep on this vieja. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think we said this many times before, Caitlyn Jenner is perfect for this role, so Hollywood, listen up there. then obviously, come on, folks. Some of the greatest sci-fi stories of DC Cosmic is obviously from the Green Lantern mythologies. Mm-hmm. And what crueler group of folks than the Guardians of the Universe themselves? Well, yes, they've created a fantastic galactic police force in the Green Lanterns. They did that by trying to calm all type of emotions. They created the Lanterns because of a huge mistake in the Manhunters and countless other mistakes afterwards in storylines that we find out. In particular, what was Rise of the Third Army and Wrath of the First Lantern, where we get more ideas into their sickness. Mm-hmm. If you will, and to take over the universe. I think you should never sleep on these Guardians of the Universe. They're horrible folks. Now, I'm telling you, every story I've ever read with them, for what they seem to say that they want the greater good, man, what they've done behind the scenes to try to accomplish what they feel is the greater good, it's just horrible.
I can see a red ring and a yellow ring going right to Alex right about now.
Man, right?
Wow. I think those. Wait, is that my five?
No, that you had four. So. You owe us
one
more.
Oh, no, I got one more, actually. I was undecided about two, but here's my last kiddo here. And that also now is within that Green Lantern mythology. And a particular one, Necron. Mm-hmm. Mm. I mean, that's uber powerful when. First of all, this is a character that cannot be killed. He can't be defeated. But being because he's immortal, he could wait out the particular group that defeated him and see if the next generation got the cojones to beat him. This is a physical embodiment of death. All right? He could make he could take any soul and basically, you know, bring them back to life, you know, quote unquote. And the reason I picked them is that imagine if you're a hero within the DC universe, in the particular the Blackest Night storyline, where he revives maybe your dead parents, your dead siblings, or dead loved one, and kind of makes you fight them. I mean, regardless of what type of hero you are, you know, you're really going to start questioning yourself when you face somebody that you care about. So just because of his twisted mind games, I think he's definitely up there. And also, you know, a great power set. Again, if you can't be killed and you could just wait out that particular group, that's pretty cool and sick.
I the image in my brain with his first appearance in the Tales of the Green Lantern Corps, I'm like, who's this? But later on, they certainly fixed him up and made him appear in a way that was very, very menacing. And
the amazing Jeff Johns.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so grateful for that revamp of Necron.
Of the whole Lantern mythology, actually, that he introduced, man. Jeff Johns is the man.
Agreed. Man. Definitely agreed.
All right. So I guess those are my five. I did have a side one, so maybe something I'll mention later on after you.
There's just so many to pick from. It's hard when you say, give me who you think are the five most powerful villains in the DC universe. That's five out of thousands of characters.
Absolutely. And Guardians, tough. You know, it's a group. I know that's not one in particular, but...
We can count them as one entity. They usually act as one. We'll give that to you. That's not the reason I want to argue that, but that's a good one.
Uh-oh.
I think Guy Gardner would agree with you here and there. And
that's
maybe
true.
Even Hal Jordan.
Actually, they all would, right?
Yeah. They like
Alex.
Al's
no fan.
Alex, we'll give you a Green Lantern ring in the event we're going to have a mutiny over here and just get rid of the Guardians one day. We know you'll be good at this, so.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Here's a red ring, a black ring, and a yellow ring while we're at it.
Oh, my God. You actually don't want me to have that power because there's a couple of comic book sites out there that are definitely going to feel the pain.
No such thing as the... what color ring is that? The pink lantern ring. Well, of Ooh. Love.
What's the color? Sapphire.
Yeah, the sapphire.
You know what?
Yeah.
I never got that. Because that's a purple ring, and sapphires are blue, aren't they? Yeah. That's probably a whole nother show, but still.
Yeah. Who did that? They should be on this list. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Wait, 13. You mentioned how Hilti's list had... And you had none, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Did any of mine make your list?
Just one.
Oh, all right. All right.
All right. So I'm going to... Let me toss my five out here, and I will give them to you in reverse order. I had a very, very, very tough time just trying to decide who to start with as number five. I literally had 13 other characters... besides who I put on my top five, and I had a hard time just starting this thing off.
Is that because you're trying to stay on brand with the 13 thing, or?
Damn it, you found out my secret. it's usually my magic number. But anyways, for today, we'll do it with five. But I'm going to start it off with Superboy Prime as my fifth. This kid, you know, he was just a nobody on his earth. And from when he started from that point in time to, and you think of all the years and all the chaos he's caused, how can he not be on this list? This guy has, you know, punched reality and given Superman fits, not to mention a host of characters from the DC universe. He's
you
had
broke back Jason Todd.
Yeah. I mean, how can he not be on this list? He's not one of my favorite characters as a villain, believe it or not, but he definitely deserves to be on here just with his power set. Going with number four, I would just not live with myself if I did not include the Anti-Monitor on this list. This is a guy that destroys for, you know, and planets and universes for breakfast. You know, through the years with the Anti-Monitor, you know, when he first came out in the Crisis of Infinite Earths and all that stuff, you know, this is a guy that, when you're reading that storyline, you're like, how the hell are they going to beat this thing? You know, it just went dragged on. Like, I don't know how we could ever beat this. And, you know, it took the death of Barry Allen Flash and a whole bunch of other things had to happen for them to defeat the Anti-Monitor. But yet, he's come back and caused chaos. When you hear the words Anti-Monitor, nothing good is going to come. That's for sure in the world of DC Comics. Number three, probably one of my most favorite villains in DC, is Trigon. The guy is creepy as hell.
Sure that.
And it's just like, he is evil personified. This guy, you know, he's so powerful that you can get groups, teams, multiple teams of heroes that go up against him, and it doesn't faze him. So one of his weaknesses, though, is that it is crossing from one dimension to the other, to this reality. But other than that, if you were to match up with him on his home turf, I think he could take out almost anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I have to put Krona on here, the former Guardian, or Malthusian. If it wasn't for him, there would be no Anti-Monitor.
Valid.
So then, probably his most famous series, I guess, in my opinion, was the Justice League and Avengers crossover, where he's, you know, defeating Galactus and acquiring all this power and the Grandmaster and manipulating this and just acquiring power. He's super intelligent. You know, he's got the Guardians in check. Just one guy. You know, when Krona comes around, it's never a good time for the Green Lantern Corps, never mind the DC Universe. And then my number one, I agree with Alex, is Necron. He has to be number one. This is a guy that just won't go away. You can't kill him. He's just going to keep coming back. But, you know, his version of The Walking Dead, I love it in DC.
Oh, yeah.
You know, The Blackest Night was just one of the most incredible stories I have ever read, period.
Classic.
It's definitely a classic. It was well drawn, well thought. And, you know, you guys heard me mention earlier that when Necron first appeared in the Tales of the Green Lantern Corps, you're like, yeah, whatever. Just some, you know, skeleton guy. But what a dramatic change it was when he was rolling around in the Blackest Night storyline. He is just immensely powerful. And I don't know how he could ever be stopped. I don't think he ever can be.
He's the living embodiment of death. You know, so he'll just wait you out.
Yeah, so I'm curious to see who else you had, Alex. Because I had, like, 13 other people.
You know, what's funny is that you mentioned the guy that I would... See, that's... I was thinking between Superboy Prime and Vandal for my top five. And Superboy Prime was the person I said that I definitely had on my list, because what scares me about him is that this is a teenager that obviously has social issues with Superman-level powers.
Right.
Pre-crisis Superman-level powers, which is a completely different ball of wax.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, that is scary. This dude ran through when he got out of the bubble, you know, in the Infinite Crisis series. I mean, this dude, you know, basically almost killed the Superboy of our Earth, you know, Connor.
Right.
And he went through heroes left and right like they were butter.
You gotta remember, man, he was angry. He was like the ultimate angry fanboy. So look at the internet, pick your favorite troll, give him pre-crisis Superman powers and an unlimited budget and see how much hell he brings. Like, it you're right, it's terrifying. I almost had him on my list too, but I was like, that's a lot of S's. I should probably lay off an S. And I couldn't bring myself to take the Cyborg Supes off. But I, you know, like I said, cause I was kind of dealing with potential too, but like he's nuts. I mean, If you give that guy the Sinestro ring like they did,
right?
Oh yeah,
you actually limit him with that. Like, he was crazier without it. Like, because now he's got to focus on a ring. Like, before, the guy's like, "Well, I'm going to punch the space time wall and see all sorts of wonderful things happen because I don't think anything that's going on is fair." His whole superpower is a massive temper tantrum, and I have a 2-year-old boy, actually just turned 3. Like, the temper tantrum is terrifying. You can't stop it. It's a force of nature.
I mean, and think about how sick he is, that he actually, you know, burned the S symbol into his chest.
Yeah, the jewelry wasn't enough for him with the yellow ring, so he just went with the branding himself.
Yeah. he was definitely on my list, and I took him off. But I didn't take him off. I narrowed it down. If this was, you know, I think we can all agree, like, certain guys are definitely always on the list.
Oh, definitely. I mean, even like a Brainiac. I mean, you think...
I thought about him, too. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but exactly. But the reason that kind of stopped me, if you really look at his mission, he's just trying to save cultures. Even though the way he does it is really messed up. But he's just trying to save cultures. So does that really make him villainous?
No, the Guardians are probably more evil.
Yeah, absolutely.
According to your list.
They made the list. Okay. These dudes are scumbags throughout the history of the DC universe. They've gotten away with, you know, murder.
Listen, GL fans, that's Al Mega. You can reach him on Twitter.
I'm not saying the Green Lanterns, but the Guardians are a demented dudes.
It's this. I never expected this the conversation to take this turn.
No, not even a little.
So Brainiac belongs in the top five heroes. We'll save him for later.
I'm not saying that he's a hero.
You know what? You know what just happened? This is why we love Al, because I'm like Solaris, and he's like, hold my beer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, okay.
I'm just saying, though.
I agree with Alex to a degree. I agree with, you know, Brainiac obviously is extremely intelligent, so that's one. You know, I think they always say the scale, he's a 12th level intellect, while the general populace is considered a level one. So that gives you an idea of what Brainiac, we're nothing to him. But it's true, he does get these civilizations and bottle them up and then collect them. Now, I don't know if I agree with the word save, but,
no, but
he's,
I'm saying,
know, he's definitely saving them probably for whatever reason he wants.
He's, well, apparently, remember, his homeworld got destroyed, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what influenced him to save other worlds, because he didn't want that to destroy those other worlds and then leave nothing behind. Because from his world, he is all that's left, right? So, he I mean, and again, yeah, it's a sick frame of mind, but I can't call him villainous, because he's trying to do, again, what does happen, well, man, hold on. Now you got me. I forgot the exact name of what was it that killed his world. All right? And now I'm going to search it, because there was a name for it, what killed his world. And that's what he was trying to prevent from destroying other worlds. But again, yes, it's twisted. Yes, you heard me say, right, sometimes I'm with a villain. I'm sorry. It is what it is. I'm an anti-hero.
It happens, man. Listen,
You know, but you get me. Again,
I get what you're saying.
Know?
He's not evil for the sake of being evil. His isn't about conquest or a plan. His is about, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to make sure that some example of this culture still exists.
Exactly. You know? It's an obsession. You know?
Yeah,
you know, he got OCD, basically.
And he's acquiring power and knowledge from all these different worlds that he's visiting, for lack of better words. I wanted to say ravishing, but
he doesn't. You know, again, it all depends. It's, all right, folks. Send the hate mail to undercovercapes@gmail.com.
You know, the Guardians. Your pick of the Guardians. You know. It's hard to not agree with you, because Volthoom is a perfect example. The Manhunters are a perfect example. You know, Rogue Green Lanterns, when Hal Jordan went nuts.
Alpha Lanterns.
The Alpha Lanterns.
Yeah, they're terrible. No, you're
they
right.
They hid their own people. They hid their own people.
Yeah, they didn't say anything to anyone about Parallax for a long time, the Yellow Impurities, until it was too late. And all these other entities, even Larfleeze was a well-kept secret.
Yeah, and the fact that they built in the Yellow Impurity on purpose.
Right.
You know what I mean? To kind of control their boys. I mean, that's foul.
So, would you be more on board with the controllers, then?
Wow. That's crazy. See?
Listen, guys, we got one rail left, and you're about to be off it. I'm just letting you know.
So the Guardians make the list, but the controllers don't.
Man, yeah, I get it. Yeah, it's tough, but I'm just seeing that, you know, these are people that are the reason that for me, again, it's just their manipulative nature. You know, here we do something for the greater good, but just the way that they try to get to that greater good, it's just it's nuts, man.
And you know
they're trumping it, baby. They're trumping it.
You know, Darkseid is also a can't miss. He didn't make my list or Hilti's list, but in talking about Darkseid, I almost tossed in there Yuga Khan, his daddy.
Oh, his daddy's a crazy mofo. Absolutely. But I mean, the reason I picked Darkseid, not just other than, you know, the final crisis where we kind of see where the Earth AD went, but, you know, this is a dude, he killed his own mom.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This dude is not up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Desaad poisoned Hegra, I think is her name, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And when Yuga Khan came back, you know, he's like, Desaad, I didn't forget. You know, I almost wanted to erase that and what if scenario, right? Desaad, thank you so much because she was really giving me a hard time. No.
But, she ain't cooked, man. Goddamn.
Yeah, exactly. No, but, you know, whenever I think of Darkseid, I instantly think of Yuga Khan, and he is one of my favorite villains. I have so many favorite villains, but he's definitely up there. And I just wish that we had way more quality storylines with Yuga Khan.
That is some untapped potential. You're absolutely right.
No doubt. This is the first rule of Apocalypse. I mean, why would you not talk about him more?
This could be the Game of Thrones of DC.
Yeah,
it's the same for me with, like, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm a crazy Star Wars fan, but I'm an active Star Wars fan. Like, stop telling me the stories of the same 75-year time frame. There's literally thousands of years of storylines to tell with that. And it's the same with Apocalypse and New Genesis. Like, give it to me, man. Like, take it all the way. Like, you guys, stop telling me stories about Gotham without Batman before he was Batman and you know, hit me with a story from this time period. There's so much gold.
Oh,
in
yeah.
It.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. And you can kind of even loop in, like, ancient Green Lantern history. So
absolutely.
In the Green Lanterns run, when they were talking about Volthoom, I loved those pages of the ancient past of what was happening with the Guardians then. And I love that stuff.
It's a throwaway line. It's a throwaway line that people say to make a point, and then they never do anything with it. The Guardians have been around as the evil Guardians. There you go, Al. The evil Guardians have been around as long as the universe has.
Yeah.
That's a lot of potential.
Right. And then I feel the same way with Yuga Khan. You know, this is the guy that the Omega Beams have no effect on Yuga Khan. Nothing. The guy can control mother boxes and whatever other boxes there are. This dude is incredibly powerful. I don't even think, like, Highfather can hang with Yuga Khan.
No, I don't believe so. I absolutely. I don't think he can stand him toe-to-toe.
No, the only weakness that Yuga Khan has is his obsession with the Source Wall. But other than that, you know, this guy is bad news. He can absorb planets and take its power. I mean, Darkseid can't do that.
Nope.
Yeah, so, I mean, Darkseid fears his dad. So, you know, if the day ever comes that Yuga Khan had his own 12-issue limited, I'm there day and night. I'll get the variant covers, everything.
You know, with 13, we do that a lot, you and I. We're always like, hey, man, I'm in for 12 issues of this. But we never get those 12 issues, man. We should you guys got to stop. DC, listen, that's two sales of variant covers. So that's like 14 issues per issue. Like, make it happen.
Oh, yeah, I'll be there day and night.
Oh, I'd love it. I'm in.
Yeah, and some other villains that I had that didn't make the list, you know, Doomsday here. Some, you know, powerful, immensely powerful, yeah. Can he be defeated? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll throw out Eclipso. Eclipso's
He got cut from mine, but he was on my bigger list.
You gotta throw Sinestro in that bad boy, though.
He was on my bigger list, too.
I didn't have Sinestro, though.
No?
No.
I mean, you got him, and then you mentioned Parallax. I think he's also a great addition to it. Obviously, that leads into Sinestro.
Correct. Yeah, and these two characters that I'm going to mention now, I'm fighting with myself even now as to why they're not on the list. I'm going to start with Imperiex Prime.
Oh, he was on my list.
Yeah, I was looking at him like a mofo because his power set is
ridiculous.
Insane.
Yeah.
It is. The powers of the Big Bang. I mean,
that's insane.
Crazy.
Yeah, let me destroy the universe so that when that happens, I can eat it. Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, that was a great series. I mean, it really, really was.
He's a great cook.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's true, too.
Apparently.
Yeah. And then the other character here that I had to fight myself to cut off the list was Lucifer Morningstar.
Oh, yeah, man. He's a monster.
Literally.
Absolutely. I mean, this is... Yeah, he's Satan himself. Come on, man. Neil Gaiman, that Vertigo run.
Mm-hmm.
Lucifer is absolutely no joke.
Yeah, he can create multiverses. Isn't that insane?
Yes.
Yes. You know what? I'm going to wake up today and... you know what? Let me snap my fingers. There you go.
Here's...
Done.
I would love that power set, though, to me, be honest. I'm sorry.
That's pretty good.
The villainous
Al, you got a Darkseid, my man.
I'm sorry.
You're like, hey, man, let's go controllers. Let's wipe out the Guardians. I'd like to be a little brainiac, and I can hang with Satan.
Alexander Morningstar. Guardians, but, you have no idea what's coming.
Tell nobody. I got to clip my wings every morning. It hurts.
Here's one that was on mine, and we'll see if it made yours. It was when I had 10, and I was narrowing it down to 5. Mr. Mind.
What?
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't pick him, but that's a nice little choice, yeah. Actually.
Come on. I mean, I realize he's an inchworm, but, you know, he wrecked his shop. He was eating multiverses.
True, true. I can't argue with you there.
Okay.
Mr. Mind.
He's not evil enough to be Alex on Alex's list. He's like, nah, he was all right. He's just a little villain. He's not cool.
He is cool, man. That's a little worm with glasses from Brave and the Bold, right?
Right. Yeah, but they, you know, Billy's one of Billy's villains. But
yeah, man.
Like, from a potential standpoint, come on.
Potential, definitely. I mean, didn't he used to like worm into? It's creepy going through people's ears to kind of control their brain.
I mean, that's sick. And then he decided he gained power by eating their knowledge, and then he decided that he could eat knowledges of whole universes. That's a creepy thing. And he's still a little inchworm. Like, you're looking at him, you're like, oh, look at this Bugs Bunny guy. And the next thing you know, it's over.
A zombie worm.
That's right. So, you know, but he was on my list. Let's see.
So if you throw the Mr. Mind and Brainiac ship, you think he would take all of Brainiac's knowledge?
I think he could. Well, I don't know. Brainiac's not organic. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be pretty cool to see the worm thrown into the cities. You know, then we could possibly get a Godzilla-type movie, you know, a Kaiju-type movie within the bottles.
Like, literally, like, he's huge in Kandor.
You're making my imagination go wild right now. I'm seeing this worm going inside a bottle attacking a city. It's horrible.
DC, listen, I'm not in for 12 on that, but I'm in for 6. Make it happen.
I'll settle for a one shot.
Oh, damn, that's messed up, man.
Mr. Mind invades Kandor. One shot.
That's it. I'm in. I'm also
Mr. Mind hits the bottle.
Nobody else wants it.
Yeah, and then Brainiac will go to the bottle and just pour some tequila in it, and then drink the worm.
That's it.
Oh, there you go. You
found
see
the ending. Writes itself, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it does.
I've never experienced this before. Let me try this liquid substance and a worm.
Hey, you know what?
I heard it's
DC is making a new label called Black Label. I don't know if they've talked to Johnny Walker about that. But you know what? Don't take our idea about Mr. Mind in the tequila bottle. That's actually pretty cool. What would you call that tequila line?
I don't mind.
Oh. I like to. You won't have a mind afterwards.
Mind eraser.
There you go.
What else? Yeah,
I agree with Mind Eraser because I definitely have stories with tequila in Webster Hall.
Ooh, I hear that. Well, not Webster Hall, but this might have been a hall or a basement or an attic. Anyway, next topic. What's going on, fellas?
And how did Mr. Mitzelplix not make the list?
Because nobody wanted to say his name?
Yeah, you know how hard that is to say? And are you even saying it right today?
I guess.
I think he is.
Mr. Mitzelplix?
Yeah.
Mitzelplix.
I had a great show with Johnny this morning for OTP and be on the lookout for that, folks, with a gentleman from China. So he had a lot of characters with Chinese names. So you could imagine the fun we had in trying to pronounce those names and places.
Yeah, Mr. Mitzelplix is a fifth dimensional imp. And who's the character? There's a character that was impervious to fifth dimensional. Oh, Ultraman.
It was Ultraman, and correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Johnny Thunder as well? Because isn't his genie also from the fifth dimension?
I believe so. I'd buy that for sure, but I'm not totally certain, but I'd buy it.
I seem to remember there was a storyline like that where they used him to help Supes out because the genie wasn't affected by all the reality altering that Mixie was pulling up.
Yeah, and even Ultraman, you know, this is the guy that made the anti-monitor bleed once, so...
True.
Also not on the list.
You know, you can only have so many super clones.
I do have a question about the anti-monitor since he was on your list, 13. Now, if we go back to a Crisis on Infinite Earth, he's this, you know, galactic-sized being. Mm-hmm. And in the recent iterations, he seems to be a humanoid-sized being. Was there an explanation for that?
He was cold?
Oh.
He dipped into the pool, did he?
I don't know, but let's blame the Guardians.
I'm in. They did it.
But I'm saying, was that ever explained how he went from a Galactus to a humanoid-sized being? You know, I'm just asking. This is something, you know, off.
If it was explained, I missed it.
Yeah, I didn't see. I don't remember them explaining it either. I mean, it may just be a. It might be like a. Here's an explanation. Feel free to use this again, DC. We're gold here today.
You're giving them money, bro.
When he came back, he was greatly reduced in power. So maybe that had a lot to do with from his defeat in Crisis. So I think maybe that had a lot to do with the fact that his size was different. Like he wasn't as amped up as he had been. Because isn't that why he wore his armor? He wore his armor to contain himself, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe he just needed smaller armor. He was juniors. He shopped in the junior section.
They don't make armor. And, you know, now that you say the word armor, I think of Monarch, too.
Monarch was a good one. But he was kind of, well, see, I almost put Extant on there for the same reason. But Extant's been so many different people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's like hard to like to slam that down. Like the first Extant was Parallax, which was Hal Jordan. So it's like, who do you put on the list? Parallax, Hal Jordan, or Extant?
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, he wasn't. He worked for Hal Jordan. He used Hal Jordan's powers. He was Hawk, right? From Hawk and Dove?
Correct.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like, but he had, man, you can't argue with him. As JSA villains go, he was the one who put him through the ringer.
Right.
Shoot, he killed half of them at one point till they got, you know, that's the beauty of comic books is every villain can survive everything but a retcon.
Yeah.
So, well,
you know,
but he could be on the list.
I got somebody for the list that most people don't think of. Just because she lacks superpowers doesn't mean that the character can't be ruthless. And Amanda Waller should have made the list.
She is ruthless. She is, you know, ruthless in the dictionary.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, guile, political connections, and sheer intimidation to achieve her goals.
Not care.
Absolutely not about
talk about
anything.
Somebody who's willing to do anything for the greater good. I mean, yeah, you know, technically she's on our side, but man, I don't want her on my side. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I wonder if one of these days we'll see her run for office in DC Comics.
Could happen.
Maybe one day she'll say, hey, you know what? I'm ready for the next level. I want to go into the political arena.
Well, listen, there's a storyline as a foundation for that, although I don't know what the status of Luther's presidency, if it still existed or not. They've done so many revamps with the new 52 and everything. But she was very active with him politically when he ran. So, you know, there's a basis there. Like, she was a face in his administration. You know, but yeah, man, she's talking about ruthless. Man, the wall? I am not messing with the wall. Nobody messes with the wall. No. Batman doesn't mess with the wall.
No.
And this iteration of this character, I mean, didn't exist before, right? I mean, what's the motive behind the wall?
Gee, so far as we know.
I'm saying Amanda Waller is one thing, but I'm saying, didn't they introduce a new character in the Suicide Squad run called The Wall?
Oh, if they did, I missed it. I'm not super up on the current Suicide Squad.
Oh, okay. What about you,
but
Dirty?
They may have, but that was always her nickname, man. Like, she was, you know.
Yeah, it's just
well,
like
they got taken away.
It's like a super soldier program, and I hate using that term, but that's the best way to explain it. It's a super soldier type thing that they're trying to develop.
And is Amanda Waller behind that particular project?
No, she's not. No. It's a rival group, and they named it The Wall out of spite.
Interesting.
Now I'm going to read it. That's interesting because I'm not messing with that woman. So whoever these people are, they're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I mean, and was Mongol even mentioned?
I mentioned him as a sidekick for the cyborg Superman.
He's a sidekick.
That's what he did.
It's funny because when you said, you know, that he was, you know, a sidekick to cyborg Superman, but cyborg Superman was a sidekick to Zod.
Yeah.
True, but not originally. And we didn't mention Zod. Man, talk about evil Kryptonians. He's destroying the GL Corps.
Yeah. Yeah, Zod is definitely an interesting character. And Lor Zod, even though he's a kid, you know, is going down the same path. So, yeah, well, anything, when you put the word Kryptonian in anything and they're evil, it's over.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, that's why they're always the big bad. Look at, you know, Justice League, not Justice League, I'm sorry, Justice Society, when Superman came back from Apocalypse, that whole storyline. You know, like, that, exactly. When you want evil, you make Superman go crazy, and you either give him a new name or you make it Superman. But man, that brings everybody into action.
Mm-hmm.
Because who stops him?
Definitely.
I could mention a character that had a very villainous act, and I would say that you should add this dude definitely on the list, just because he's a certified psychopath that the government uses in Major Force.
Major mm-hmm. Force is absolutely.
Yeah, he's got a fridge fetish.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that was one of the most heinous acts, I think, in the history of DC Comics.
It started a whole movement.
Affect a character. I mean, to affect a character, yeah. I mean, isn't that kind of a pun nowadays that's used to reference something?
Yeah, with women refrigerator? In refrigerators. It's Gail yeah. Simone's thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The death of Alex DeWitt.
Yep.
Kyle Rayner's girl.
Necron gave a black ring to mess with him. So, you know, it's going back.
See, there you
again.
Go. Exactly. You see how this all circles back into our list with very sick individuals using love once against our fantastic heroes, you know, after heinous acts by people that weren't on our list.
Now, Major Force was really evil. And if you're using that, if you're using not power level and everything else, man, if, you know, look at Identity Crisis. You got to go Dr. Light. That was some evil. That was a little too evil
for but
all that
mainstream
stuff.
Comics.
But what about the mind wiping by Zatanna?
Yeah. So she, exactly. Oh, man, here we go.
There goes a hero that did something that was against the morals of a hero. I mean, do you agree with that? You know, you're all on me about a Brainiac, but, you know.
No, I don't agree with that.
Here's your homegirl Zatanna, somebody for the greater good. That's actually mind wiping people to erase things. I mean, on some ethical levels, that's just really messed up.
Want to see a magic trick? All
right. Right. What magic trick?
Watch me make this pencil disappear. All right.
That's pretty good, man.
I love that scene, though.
What's the matter? Somebody cut off your balls. All right. That's enough of that. All right. So, that'll wrap it up.
I haven't showered.
Screw the Guardians. All right. That'll do it for our first segment. We're going to head over to our battles, and we're going to do that right now. All right, everyone. I am going to present three battles today of DC Comics characters, and we're going to stick with the theme of the most powerful villains in the DC universe. So each of these battles will feature a premier villain, or more or less. Some of them might be a little more obscure than others, but you get my drift. All right. So, Hilti, we'll start with you for this matchup. This character has been known to control many, many, many people with just a little piece of a trinket called the Heart of Darkness. And I'm talking about Eclipso. But the next character could also do the same thing, except that he takes their souls. And he's a greedy little bastard. And his name is Larfleeze. Who would win in a battle between Eclipso and Larfleeze?
Okay, Eclipso and Larfleeze.
And just to throw some other tidbits out here, so Eclipso was the Spectre before there was a Spectre.
Correct.
And Larfleeze was so powerful that the Guardians are like, look, we just can't hang with this dude. Leave him alone. If you leave us alone, we leave you alone. So, just to give you a little sense of the power scale of these guys.
I'm going to go like this and see if you follow my logic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. From what I know about both of these characters, and you're actually kind of in my wheelhouse here, so that's pretty good. Larfleeze is going to become ridiculously obsessed with obtaining the Heart of Darkness once he sees it. You know, that guy sees anything new and different. He's going to go bonkers to try and acquire it for himself. You know, that's the Orange Lantern routine. So I think Eclipso, being smart and having those millennia of experience, is going to use that to his advantage. Larfleeze is going to come in close. He's going to let him touch the Heart of Darkness and then end up possessing Larfleeze, and then you've got two great tastes that taste great together. Holy cow, call everybody. It's the end of the universe. So I'm giving that one technically to Eclipso, because Larfleeze, as powerful as he is, can't contain his one flaw, which is obsession, which you can use against him. So I'm giving it to Eclipso.
I must have the ring. I must have it. All right. All right, Alex, who do you have in this battle?
Let me tell you that I must agree with our boy Hilti. As much as I love Larfleeze,
amen.
His obsession is going to be his weakness. I mean, at the end of the day, Eclipso once had the power of the wrath of God and the angel of vengeance, which we know is a specter. This is a holy, powerful spirit, if you will. And he only seeks to possess beings of incredible power. So, Larfleeze, my brother, you got no chance in any multiverse to beat Eclipso.
So,
period.
I think it's funny. The Guardians should have come and picked up Eclipso and say, hey, we got a job for you. Can you take this guy out? You think the Guardians are that evil that they could recruit Eclipso and do this?
Of course they would. They're dirty bastards.
I knew you'd say yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely they would, if they could. But you know, instead they made a deal with him, let him do what he wants and whatnot, so long he don't bother nobody else. Look at that. I mean, non-compliance, not doing nothing. So, you know what? If they wanted to take him out, yes, they would hire him, because they're doing shit now about him.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Almega at Undercover Capes.
And the best part is he already has jewelry, so they don't have to give him a ring.
That's right, he's got it.
He's got that, he got everything he wants, and anything new that's going to come out, he's going to have it too. You know, but at the end of the day, though, the wrath of God, the angel of vengeance, the former, definitely will have the power set to put our man under the table. I mean, it's bottom line.
That would definitely be an interesting encounter for sure with these two.
It'll be a fun story.
Oh, yeah.
I'd read the hell out of that.
All right. With that said, who would you want to write and draw the story?
Ooh. Tom Mandrake. I want him to draw it.
Oh, yeah. I met him. His art, yeah.
Yeah, man. He did a Bloodshot cover for me, man. He's dope.
His Spectre run was just absolutely, I loved it. Perfect. Perfect for the book.
After Bernie Wrightson, you know, type art, he definitely is my second.
Yeah. I don't know who I'd want to write it, though. That's a good question.
I mean, there's a lot of great minds out there.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of great
minds. Robert Venditti.
I was thinking either him or Matt. Or Matt Kent. I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name right now.
Yeah. I like to see Robert Venditti spin a yarn out of this one.
You know what? Even a Colin Bunn, though, since he has... I think this could be a very good horror story in a sense, too. Because, I mean, look at their power sets.
Right.
Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, Larfleeze, you know, that's part of what makes the horror genre go, is he's relentless.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you just don't – whatever you think you did to stop him slows him down, but it never stops him.
If you look at Larfleeze, at the end of the day, he's one of the seven sins.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You know?
You know, he shares his – you know, there's a shared power source for all the other rings. Like, his other Orange Lanterns are all constructs. He is the only one.
And mind you, he should have been on the list of villains, because all those constructs are people that he killed.
He killed, right. I know. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that's a good point. We may have to do another list soon, 13.
Oh, yeah. No,
there's a lot of stuff left to talk about.
Yeah, Larfleeze definitely is my preciouses. My precious.
He still loses, though.
Yeah, and it's a hard thing to say, believe it or not, but I agree with you guys. Eclipso's no joke. And, you know, as
he
I said earlier, the Spectre before there was a Spectre, so. Yeah.
And that's what I mean when I was trying to pick by potential.
Yeah.
Like, there's a villain that should absolutely wreck shop, and, you know, he's not utilized in that manner for the most part when he's used. Like, he should be, like, one of those force of nature, contain only sort of villains.
Yeah,
at best.
Yeah,
I think he's one of those super villains that could definitely hold his own run.
Well, he has 19 issues, although, but they got to do this again.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah, do it now. Right. So
Black Label, there's a perfect candidate.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. All right.
DC, you are making money off of us today. Just letting you know.
If I see this stuff, I will be billing you.
I just want another Heart of Darkness trinket like they gave us back in the day on the first Eclipso book.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have one. I'm going to have to find one. I'll see what I can do.
There eBay, here comes Hilti.
That's right.
All right. So our next battle, I'll present it to you first, Alex. Here it is. We spoke about him earlier. He has the power of the Big Bang within his veins, Imperius Prime. Who would win if he were to visit Apocalypse and face off against Yuga Khan?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What are you doing this to me for? Nah, man. We're talking about a being with the power of the Big Bang. No one will hold a candle to that type of power set. I don't care who you are. And I'm not even going to further this discussion. Again, the power set. The power of the Big Bang. Yuga Khan, Yuga not. You done lost right now. I mean, that's an incredible power set. I'm sorry. You can't beat that. I'm done. It's Imperius. He's done. Goodbye, Yuga. You know what I mean?
He'll crush the source wall along with it.
Again, think about it. He has the power of the Big Bang. I mean, the thing, how powerful is the source wall? We don't know what's outside of the source wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
the source.
You know, well, whatever is inside of the source will definitely be obliterated. I mean, in that battle. I mean, these are two godlike beings that are going to be battling it out. I mean, just looking at the extent of the power set between the two Omega beings. But come on, man. Omega beings got nothing on the Big Bang. I'm sorry. Imperius Rex, you got this, boy.
All right. Who do you have, Hilti, in this one?
All right, man. Get ready. Hold on to your seats because I'm going the other way.
Ooh.
You're forgetting, Al. You're forgetting his power to traverse hypertime.
Correct.
And time and absorb planets and people. So all he really has to do is zap him back to right before the Big Bang happens when Imperius is at his weakest and absorb him himself. So I think, while, again, man, I'd like to read that. I think our man Yuga takes this once he figures out that's how to beat him. And he's pretty damn smart, so he's going to figure it out. So I'm going Yuga on this.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a tie, which means that I'll be the tiebreaker. And Alex is going to kill me because I would go Yuga Khan as well. I really would. And Hilti hit the nail on the head. The hypertime factor, there are not many characters that can do that. Never mind Speed Force or anything. All the knowledge that Yuga Khan has. Imperius Prime, I guess, would have to... He'd have to have the knowledge of the Promethean galaxy that keeps Yuga Khan trapped.
Right.
But if he can't figure that out before Yuga Khan can just figure out how to beat Imperius Prime, it's pretty much a wrap. I mean, I think Yuga Khan would beat Imperius Prime to the punch in figuring out the weakness. Again, I mean, Imperius Prime, that's his only weakness is time itself. And if Yuga Khan can control that, I'd give it to Yuga Khan.
No, fair enough. I'm not going to argue with those points, you know. But again, when I look at a power set, I don't think that a person like Imperius would wait to go ahead and go full blast. And that's why, as a tactical thing, if I'm going to face somebody like a Yuga Khan, for example, I'm going to go all out immediately. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to wait.
It'll be a battle for sure, and they'll probably rip the planet apart or whatever system they're in.
That could take out universes, man.
Yeah. So if neither one of them could figure out, you know, how to beat the other, you know, with those tricks that we mentioned earlier, it'll be one hell of a battle, and I don't even know if there would be a true winner, you know, at the end of the day. I mean, Yuga Khan is, if it's just a straight up slugfest, I'd give it to Imperius Prime.
Absolutely. So would I.
Yeah, but if it comes to being okay. Devious, which both characters, well, I would you know, chalk that up to Yuga Khan for being more devious and maybe more clever to how to figure out how to beat this thing.
I mean, I agree with you there. I'm not going to argue those points. This isn't like that classic match that we've talked about in the past.
I knew that was going to come up.
So I'm not going to argue this point. I mean, you guys are right there. I did not think about that factor.
Right.
But again, you know, my whole thing is that if Imperius is able to realize, let me go all out ASAP as opposed to kind of, you know, draw the fight out. I think if it's a one and done, you know, I'm going to do what I got to do ASAP. Mm-hmm. I think he'll take it immediately.
Yeah.
You know, but he's got to be that smart to realize what he has to do. So it's about, you know, being tactical.
Yeah. DC, can we get a 4-issue series of this? Might as well ask. I won't go with 12, but 4 issues I think should cover it.
That should do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah, definitely. Bring back the foil covers just for the hell of it.
Oh, yeah. Man, I hated those. But I got to tell you, man, from a nostalgia standpoint, if I saw a good one, I'd have a hard time not picking it up.
Yeah, you know, both of these characters, you know, 90s and what have you. So there you go.
Listen. The 90s resurgence right now. So what was cool back then is cool once again. I mean, you could see it, you know, and I'm sorry to bring this up, but the Valiant Universe is using all those 90s gimmicks, for example, in their covers right now. You know, and you're seeing the Big Two do it as well, you know, at least with Lenticular and all the whatnot stuff. And I'm sure we're going to see a lot more of that come up.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. All right. Things are about to heat up with this battle.
Uh-oh.
I'll start with you first, Alex.
Of course.
We mentioned this character earlier and how extremely powerful he is. Hosts and hosts and hosts of heroes just cannot stand up to the might of Trigon. Who would win if Lucifer Morningstar crossed over into his universe?
Into Trigon's universe?
Yep.
Nah, man. No, well, think about this, man. Yeah, I mean, Lucifer Morningstar is obviously a fallen angel. I mean, and you know, I don't want to get into theology or all those, you know, religious stuff. But you know, if you think about it, if God is universal, then that God is the universe of all, you know, the one God of all universes. And now Lucifer Morningstar is deriving power from everywhere, not just one place, as a Trigon. And if Lucifer Morningstar is, you know, the devil flat out, and Trigon is a devil of a level, and I'm thinking on spawn levels, you know, what level is Trigon on within the pantheon of hell? You know, I know for a fact that Lucifer Morningstar is going to be on the highest level, whereas Trigon, now he'd probably be a great intimidator, and I'd probably put him somewhere in the middle. Within this battle, I would definitely give it to Lucifer Morningstar because, again, at the snap of a finger, you could get anything done.
Hmm.
What say you? And I've been watching the show. He's so sick.
What say you, Hilti?
It's hard to argue that logic, and there won't be a tie this time because I actually really agree with Al. There is a different, and we understand that how comics work, and I won't get into theology either, mm-hmm. but there's a reason. Know why when we talk about characters like the Spectre or we just talked about Eclipso, once you throw on terms like the Wrath of God or you throw around terms like that, those characters become almost in a sense all powerful because
omnipotent.
You're dealing with this right omnipotent because they're dealing with a source of power mm-hmm. that is universal. Now, when you're dealing with somebody like Lucifer Morningstar, even though you don't want to get into the theology of it, you have to in a sense. He is the devil, like he is that character. So while Trigon is a realm's version of this character, mm-hmm. in some way or form, he you can't kind of hold a candle to the original badass on the block. So I have to stand with Al and say that's going to go to Morningstar because you know he's just that character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason they don't use him. Really, as a supervillain, because who could stand him?
He's the ultimate supervillain.
Right, you've made him the devil, right. But that's why he's not fighting the JLA, because that's not a fight. There's nothing you can give him in that without getting theological that would give him a fight.
Right.
So I don't think Trigon can hang in that realm. As badass as Trigon is, and I agree, with almost any other character on his turf, he's probably pretty unstoppable. But, you know, you're dealing with one of the characters that can make that not his turf instantaneously. Right. So he's not gonna hold up to, you know, the guy with the black wings. It's just not gonna happen.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, so there you go. We already have to edit our list that we put out there to include Lucifer Morningstar. Absolutely. I mentioned Trigon made my list, but, you know, Lucifer Morningstar, again, you know, was just had a very hard time keeping him off the list, although he deserves to be on it.
He does.
You know, he really does. But yeah, very interesting. All right, guys. So, once again, thank you. Go ahead.
Wait, 13, before we finish here.
Oh, here we go.
I didn't get your perspective here, really.
With this battle?
Yeah.
No, I agree with you guys. Lucifer Morningstar is no joke.
It's just period. Okay.
Yeah, it's just nothing to... As much as I love Trigon, he is one of my favorite villains.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because I know you love
Trigon. Well, I was kind of waiting to see if you were going to try and pull that out on his side. So, you know.
No, there's just no way around it. I mean, Lucifer Morningstar does have weaknesses here and there, but it's nothing that...
He's the devil, of course.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything Trigon can exploit to his advantage.
Nope.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, Lucifer Morningstar, again, if he is the embodiment of evil, if you will, you know, he's just too clever. That's what he's about.
But again, if you read the run, he doesn't want to accept that.
Right.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean
that
he's not...
Which is what makes it so complicated and good.
Right, yeah, it doesn't mean that he's still not powerful, because he is.
Of course, exactly. I mean, again, a snap of a finger. It's insane. I wish I had that power. Again, comic book sites, be careful if I get that one.
Alexander Morningstar, there you go. Killer of the Guardians. There's your title for the limited series.
Thank you.
If it gets a foil cover, I'll buy it.
All right. You know, I want you to do a variant cover for me, Hilti, please.
Done.
It'll just be one little planet of, and it explodes, similar to Krypton. That's it.
With your Twitter address and your email address for Undercover Capes on the bottom.
And let's just call it the Megaverse.
Yeah, and then you'll have one Guardian robe just floating through space, ripped.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely.
There you go.
And it'll be an orange robe.
All right, guys. So great job on today's list of characters. And hopefully you listeners out there agree with us. If you don't, you know where to reach us at Dynamic Convergence on Twitter. We'd love to hear your opinions. If there are any characters that you think belong on this list, we'd love to hear it. And again, thanks to Alex and Hilti. I'm the 13th Crusader. We'll see you next time.